Someone said to me, that we're going to get out in time to eat at noon today. I suspect they're right. I want to say just a word before my message about teaching ministry. It's so very important that you take advantage of the teaching ministry of the church. Now, I know some people, they like to come to church and they like to enjoy the singing and the preaching, but they've never developed an appetite for teaching. And you need to develop that appetite. You need to enjoy the Word of God. And we have a lot of opportunities for teaching here. Give me a little bit more monitor on this, if you would, please. I want to talk to you about dealing with the definition and need for revival. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's a very familiar verse, and I'm confident most of you can quote it. He said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." In the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you." Dealing with the definition and the need for revival. We call revival a series of meetings. We have a series of meetings and we ask an evangelist to come and preach, and we call it a revival, but it may not be a revival at all. It may just be a series of meetings. Revival is not a program of the church. It's not something you can organize in the church. It's not something that you can make happen because you have an organizational structure. It may shock you when I tell you that revival is not necessarily a miracle crusade. I've been in a few of those, and when the evangelist is gone, the miracles are gone because we depended so much upon the man. Revival is not more exuberant, energetic worship. Now, we like that, but that doesn't mean you have a revival. According to Hosea, he says the revival is to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness upon you. In the book of Chronicles 7 and 14, Jehovah is speaking. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name," what he's saying is, if you belong to me, act like it. I want my wife to act like she's my wife, not somebody else's. He said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves," that's an act of your will. Now, it is true God cannot humble you, but that's a painful experience. Much better for you to humble yourself. Three, he said, pray. Indispensable time with the Lord to bring revival. We need to enjoy our time with him. Seek my face. That's a longing for him. That's a desire to be with him. And turn from your wicked ways. How much are you willing to change? If you're not willing to change, then nothing will ever be any different for you. You will always be the same. There's been a lot of information about renewal and revival. I even heard one Church of God preacher say, "I don't believe in revival. I believe in renewal." Well, there's a big difference between renewal and revival. Renewal may lead to revival, but renewal is not revival. Renewal is when your heart is right, but you realize you have been neglecting. You've been neglectful of the spiritual disciplines of devotion, Bible reading, and prayer. Renewal, you're prompted to go back and to do what you used to do. Revival is an intervention of God in human affairs. When is revival needed? Revival is needed when the will of the people are more important than the will of God. We need a revival. It's all right for you to say amen. when the pastor is more concerned with the acceptance of his sermon by the people than preaching the truth of God's word, we need a revival. When the lost are too much trouble to bother with, we need a revival. When the love of many has grown cold, we need a revival. When there is no distinction in the life of the believer than the man or woman in the world, we need a revival. When divorce is as prevalent in the church as it is in the world, and according to George Barna's research, that's true, we need a revival. When members jockey for positions of power, we need a revival. When there's an attitude that what I'm doing is not any worse than what he does, we need a revival. When we measure ourselves by ourselves, we need a revival. What is revival? Well, Charles Finney said, described revival as a new beginning of obedience to God. That certainly is a beginning of revival. A man by the name of D.M. Patton says, revival is the inrush of the Spirit into a body that's threatening to become a corpse. Vance Havner says, excuse me a minute. Open this up for me. This is my son right here. I am proud of my boy. Thank you, I got it. Vance Havner says, and I paraphrase, revival is when you're more excited and emotional about Sunday morning worship than you are Saturday night ball game. Vance Havner said, the same church member who yells like a Comanche Indian at a ball game on Saturday night sits like a wooden Indian at a county fair on Sunday morning. One man said, revival is when God points his finger at you. When God points his finger at you, revival happens. Now, I love these definitions, and all of them are true. But let me go just a step farther. Revival is a quality of Spirit-directed life that is lived in obedience to God. There is a spirit of revival that is so prevalent in the life of some believers that their anointed presence brings revival. Or I might say, their anointed presence raises the dead. Revival is the Holy Ghost giving His freedom to accomplish the will of God in the body of the worship service. When men and women are delivered and set free by the presence of the Spirit, when they walk through the door, there is revival. There are some men that bring revival because they are anointed to do so. To me, revival is a fresh breeze from heaven when God blows upon His people. You know, we need to understand and take notice, when the wind of the Spirit starts blowing, it's too late then to get in line. Because the wind waits on no man. And there's never been a sailboat that sails on yesterday's wind. It's wonderful to talk about yesterday, but we need the anointing and the presence and the power of God today, right now. Give Him a praise offering. It seems to me that the church, that God, in regards to His church, has never changed His mind about holiness or about the way we ought to live before God in this world. You hear what I said? I said God has never changed His mind about the way He wants you to live in this world. While we know what is right, to some people it just doesn't seem to make any difference. I wonder if we're disturbed by an almost total collapse of personal sense of morals, not just in America, but in our own neighborhood. I've been to Europe, basically Great Britain, when full frontal nudity is shown on television any time of the day or night. If you were to go to Holland, it wouldn't be unusual for you to see a naked man and woman fully displayed in a store window. You may say, we're not that bad. And I say, yet. We're not that bad yet. It used to be that the preacher and the church were in the top five list of influences in America. But according to the latest research, the church and clergy is not even in the first dozen of them. The first five, top five, are money, television, internet, books, and music. Unless we're concerned that revival is more than just a song service or a preaching service. Revival is something that happens to the inside of a person's being when he becomes so hungry for God that nothing else matters to him but God, and he touches God and God to touch him. In Hosea's time, Israel was a bunch of farmers. And so he used words and illustrations that they understood. Hosea 10 and 12, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, fallow ground is ground that has been tilled, once grew crops, but now lies in waste, and it needs to be broken up and melted before it's fit to receive grain again. We're wasting our time if we want God's best when we're not willing to break up the fallow ground of our own heart. You might as well sow seed on the rock. We must never allow ourselves to feel good, to be content with just a feel-good service. We must hunger and thirst for the miraculous intervention of God the Holy Ghost in our worship service. Unless you and I are concerned, the pulpit can thunder all it wants to, and it'll not make any difference unless you and I make a difference. Now, I believe a person is called to preach from their mother's womb. I do not believe you get to a certain age. I believe God intends for you to be a preacher or a teacher. I'm even inclined to believe that there are professions that God has ordained for you to be in. When I was a boy, 7 or 8 years old, my brother and I, we played church. We didn't have a radio, and we didn't know television existed. I didn't know there was such a thing. We would sing and make a lot of noise, and I would always give the altar call, and it was my brother's job to get saved. That's the way it was. One day, Dearman, my older brother, said, I want to preach today. And I said, you can't preach. He said, why? And my answer was very profound. Your head's not shaped right. Well, it's cute when children play church, but it's a stink in the nostrils of God when adults play church. When we come to church and our mind is more contaminated with what we're going to do after a while or tomorrow or later, and God doesn't get all of our brain and all of our devotion, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. Toby Morgan, a minister in Alabama, he's an excellent writer. He wrote a book entitled, Can God Move Here? He tells about on a Sunday night, he was pastor in Mobile, Alabama. He said when the Holy Ghost of God came down in such an overwhelming way, he said there was about 300 in attendance. He said, that night set me on fire for something greater of God I have never seen before in my life. It's Monday morning now, and Toby has some errands to do, but he wanted to go by the church, and he wanted to spend some time in prayer. And when he began to pray, the Holy Spirit began to chasten him. And the Holy Spirit said, Morgan, What I did last night was nothing. You're limiting me, and I will not be limited by no man. Get out of my way, and I will move. Toby said, that day I learned something, that God is too big for my box. We confine God to our intellectual level. We limit God to our limited knowledge. But oh, if we could only understand, there is nothing you want from God in a spiritual manner that He doesn't want to give you. We need some radical Christians. We need some Christians that'll break up the fallow ground. That'll do more than just talk about it. If you're going to go where you've never been, you've got to do what you've never done. And we can drift along. Now, I am very convinced that it's possible to sit in a service like we have Sunday after Sunday and ride the current and ride the trend and never do your part in seeking God in prayer. You're driven along by the wind. But God says to you today, He wants you to do something about it. He wants you to do something about it. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1, it says that He entered into Capernaum, and it was noised abroad that He, Jesus, was in the house. Do you realize what would transpire at any given time in your life if you knew Jesus was in the house? Think about it. If you knew Jesus was in the house, if people out there knew Jesus was in the house. Verse 2 says, there was such a crowd gathering, jamming the entrance, no man could get in or out. Here comes four men carrying a friend, the sick of the palsy. And they couldn't get in the house because of the crowd. Can I ask you this morning, what's keeping you from Jesus? Can I ask you what is blocking your way? Can I ask you what's keeping you from being exactly what God wants you to be? What's keeping the flow of the Spirit in your life? What's blocking the flow? Oh, I hear some of you, well, I just don't have time. You know what my answer to that is? Baloney. You'll carve out the time if you are driven enough, if you're hungry enough. If you really want it, you'll find a time and a place to get it. When the regular channels are blocked and you can't get in, you have got to do something different. Listen to what four friends did. Listen to verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof wherein where He was, and when they broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. What an unusual thing to do. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I think sometimes we're just not serious enough with it. If somehow we could understand exactly what God has for us, we would pursue it a lot better. But sometimes we don't understand that the pursuit is part of the blessing. Now, since I've been, I hate to use the word retired because I guess I am in a sense. Kevin Wallace won't let me be totally retired. And I'm grateful for that. But I spend 4 or 5 hours a day poring over my Bible and trying to understand some of the things that it says. I go to bed with it on my mind. I have hugged it next to my heart, and I've wept as I wanted to know what it said. How long have you been preaching? 50 years plus, and I still feel like I'm a beginner. Nothing happens unless we press in and find a way for it to happen. It's not going to happen. I've told you that been to my class. I tell the devil he's not going to get my grandkids. I tell the devil, you're not big enough to get my grandkids. You can't walk over my prayers and get to my grandkids. Now I got two great grandbabies, adopted grandbabies, and I pray for them. You understand what I'm saying? We use that old excuse. Well, I've got to have time for relaxation, and I've got to have time for that. Yes, you do. But you need time to be hungry enough to do something more than just talk about it. I've heard so many testimonies about what God is doing around the world. I hope you don't think I'm being sacrilegious. But if everything was happening that some of the people on television say is happening, the devil would be in a psychopathic ward in hell, waving a white flag and drinking Maalox and saying, "Don't hurt me anymore." If somehow that could dawn on us, what is it that God wants from you? You can pass my sermon off. Pass it off. Just say, "Well, I don't know." But I think you do know. You know, you can live this Christian life and live it in the shallow end of the pool, and not discipline your mind to think the way it ought to think. I had a man come to me not long ago, and he said, "I was watching some things on television or on the internet that I shouldn't have been watching." I said, "Why are you watching it?" He said, "I'm confessing to you." Well, that's great. I'm not going to be sympathetic with you. If you're having trouble, I'm not going to be sympathetic with you about your thinking about what you see. You're a grown man, a grown woman, or you're a teenager, or whatever you are. There's got to be a time in your life when you say, "Look, the preacher can't help me unless I help myself." Makes a difference when we want to do it. If you have your Bibles, turn to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, and I want to read to you. God, I believe, laid this scripture on my heart for the Mountain Meadows Church of God. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I am the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open up the blinded eyes, to bring out the prisoner from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and now new things do I declare. Before they spread forth, I will tell you of them." Why is God ordained Kevin Wallace and Devin Wallace to be here? I don't believe the overseer made the appointment Oh, I know he did, because that's our policy and I believe in our policy. But I don't believe that's the reason he's here, simply because the overseer made the appointment. I think he's here because I believe God ordained. I believe in the council chambers of heaven. God ordained for them to be here. Why are you here today? Because you feel like God ordained for you to be here. You were looking for something that you didn't have who you were at. Vance Havner talked about D.L. Moody. He said D.L. Moody was a man with very little education and grammar. He left a lot to be desired. But he is the only man that many have written about that shook England and America with his preaching. And Vance Havner said, what made Moody stand out from all the other preachers of his day, Moody had what made the difference. D.L. Moody had what made the difference. I believe this church has what makes the difference. I believe God has ordained for this church to be here. I don't believe Jim and John are here by accident. I think God ordained them to be here. I believe this church is a sovereign act of God's will. I believe this church, God has ordained to keep the Pentecostal message alive. We don't just want a crowd. We want the Pentecost of God to regularly invade this place. And when that happens, things happen. Now, the closing part I want to tell you. When God touches you or touches a church for special visitation, there's grave responsibility with it. We cannot afford to be careless about this gift God has given us. We can't afford just to be nonchalant about it. We can't afford to do that. If God's called us to deliver the prisoners from the prison house and deliver the blind and the halt and the lame, if God's called us for that, then we must have the spiritual power and the anointing of God to be able to do that. Would you stand, please? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, if you're here today, something drawed you to this place, but you could honestly confess, Brother Kelly, I really don't know him. I want to know him. If you're here today and you're like that, God wants to change your life this morning. God wants to make a difference in your life. He wants to do it. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a few moments, if you're here today and you say, Brother Kelly, that describes me. Let me see your hand. Just lift it up real quick and put it down. Real quick and put it down. All right. You know, one of the things I love about this church, you can look at me now. The pastor always gives an altar call. If you're here today and you say, Brother Kelly, I've not been as diligent as I should be in my Bible reading, prayer, and my church attendance. If you're here and you're like that, would you have a joint prayer with me by just coming up here to the front and standing here with me? Would you do it right now in the name of Jesus? Just get out of your seat and come.